Let us pray. O God, make us ready to hear the words spoken to our hearts this morning. Call us to hear your wisdom and grant us the courage to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31, and that is on page 994 in the Pew Bibles. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the fountains of the earth, foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind."
Let us pray. O wise God, help us to tap into your understanding of wisdom, how we may seek your ways in our lives and align ourselves with you in all that we do. Bless the words of my mouth that they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week, I had Henry in the office with me most of the week, Monday through Wednesday. And normally we would do a little bit at the house, and then we'd come over to the office, and he was amazing at entertaining himself, running up and down the hallways, skidding Hot Wheel cars all the way through the hallways. And this week, his obsession was with this toy that we have in the nursery called Wedgets, I think is how you call it. Wedgets. This is what it is right here. I have it. Now, these things are pretty amazing. At first, you get them out and you think, okay, well, they're just these stackable blocks. You know, you just stack them and they make this very pleasing and satisfying pyramid. Oh, and I learned that these are not just squares. They're, who knows what the shape this is? Who can tell me? Anyone know? A rhombus. Wow. There's your geometry lesson for you today. And these things are amazing. So at first I think this is all you can do. This is it. This is the extent of what Wedgets can do. Well, it turns out Wedgets can be like, you can do all sorts of crazy things with these Wedgets. So you can start taking them and putting them into these shapes, and you can put them in differently. So you can put them in like this way, and then they become like towers, and you can start stacking them. And Henry was coming up with this, all these beautiful creations, but he turned out to have a problem. He liked these creations so much that he wanted to show Regine in the office. And so he was making them in my office and trying to carry his creations, you know, to Regine's office. And I bet you will not be surprised about what happened as he was trying to carry these things. They would collapse on him, and they would go all over the place. And he was so frustrated. Oh, man. He said, "Well, I can't do it." And said, "All right, well, let's figure it out. Let's figure this out." And so he would take them, and finally he figured it out that he would take half of the creation and then reconstruct it in Regine's office. It was pretty smart. And he did the, and he had, and he got really creative with it. This is a really fun toy. If you're looking for a fun toy for some kids in your life, that's a great one. So as I was watching this play out, it became obvious to me that this was a lesson in sustainability. Henry had to learn how much of this load he could carry at one time, and how he needed to lighten his burden in order to be able to make the transition from this place to this place. And as I was writing this sermon, I realized that this wasn't just wedget questions, right? These are life questions. Is the current pace of my life sustainable? Am I like these wedgets, having issues from transitioning from this thing to this thing? Can I keep going on like this? Do I have a proper life-work balance? Am I neglecting my health? Am I present for the people whom I love and depend upon me? And I think when our lives are going at a pace that is unsustainable, or we're having habits or ways of life that are unsustainable, where we fail to take care of ourselves, our lives will most resemble this collapsing wedget table, a giant mess of rhombus clanging loudly on the floor. Proverbs, I believe, is a book that is trying to show us a way of life that is sustainable. A way of life that is balanced even under difficult circumstances. Now, you may know this about Proverbs. It is along with Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs, part of the wisdom literature in the Old Testament. Now, the goal of this literature was to instruct the next generation, solve very specific problems, and to hand over an ancestral wisdom. This instruction and tradition was centered on the wisdom of God, which in chapter 8 is actually personified as God's first creation in the universe. According to Proverbs, wisdom is God's intention for all of us and for everything. People who listen to wisdom will be properly aligned with God's intentions, in sync with God's creation of the cosmos. I want you to think of wisdom as God's chiropractor. God's getting your body adjusted, readjusted to proper alignment with God's purposes for your life. This is what verses 22 and 31 are trying to hammer home for you today. God created the universe with intention, not in some epic struggle with chaos, but rather with methodical order and defined boundaries. And by listening to wisdom, we stay within God's order and intention. So if you're like me, when you hear these kinds of things, this idea that everything has its proper place and just right order, your gag reflex starts to kick in. You think, is God really this much of a micromanager? You know, is God like one of those obsessive, like, organizers? It's got like a bin for everything, you know? Even their junk drawer was organized. We know that life is not that black and white. All of us know that life is messy, even when you are at your happiest. And what might be the right place for me now won't be the right place for me in 10 years. This is the nature of life. Change happens quick. So instead of thinking of God's wisdom as God trying to constantly box you in too tightly, Perhaps we need to reframe how we understand what God's wisdom is. And I think understanding it as sustainability is a really nice way of looking at it. When we seek a sustainable balance in our life, we are able to be our best selves. We're even better, we're able to flourish and grow in God's given gifts. This is not about being a prisoner in God's ordering, like you're stuck or God's kind of stifling you, but rather God giving you the opportunity to live into your full potential. God's hopes and dreams for your life right now. What if this is what God wants for us? Not rule following, but flourishing. Not obsession, but balance. That's kind of a strange idea. And when I think about it, it makes me think about teachers. I was thinking, John, I was thinking about one of the things that we always talk about with being a teacher, right? Is that you are trying to seek a full potential for the students that you're teaching. You are seeking for them to be able to grow and flourish and create an environment and an opportunity for them to do so. What if God was like that? What if that is what God was seeking for your life? What if that was what he's talking about when we're talking about wisdom? Now, throughout Proverbs, the author contrasts wisdom with folly. Folly is often, you know, this attractive, you know, short-term option that you might be interested in, but leads nowhere but to decline, death, and destruction. Waste. Folly is not life-giving, it is actually life-taking. It is an unsustainable life. Now, as you know, the choice between folly and wisdom is made every day, not in one big decision, but in a million little decisions you make. Choosing justice, love, grace, humbleness, vulnerability, and openness. Proverbs tells us that wisdom calls to us most clearly and loudly in the public sphere, at the city gates, where business is conducted, where relationships are formed and broken, where major issues of life are decided. It is in these public spaces that we're called to listen carefully and to avoid choosing a path that will break our spirits and break our livelihoods. So if choosing wisdom is to choose sustainability and balance, what does that look like in today's world? What ways are wisdom and what are folly? When we are always looking to be offended rather than be a force of good in our community, we are choosing folly. When we are wasteful and blissfully ignorant about the effects our wastefulness will have on our planet and the generations after us, we are choosing folly. When fear dominates our perception of the world, leading us to dehumanize others, we are choosing folly. And when our first inclination is to clench tightly to our possessions and our time rather than share them generously, we are choosing folly. Wisdom desires us to live lives modeled after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which many people believe is the embodiment of wisdom. That is a life where not only do we flourish, and think about that, right? Oh my gosh, how many people in Jesus' life the Jesus encounter, right? Who were bound by something that was preventing them from living any kind of decent life. Think about these people that were possessed by demons, that were dealing with these illnesses. And Jesus encounters them and makes it possible not only for them to live a life, but to flourish and grow and add to society. We see that time and time again. And that is what Jesus wants for us, to be able to flourish, to be able to grow, to be able to be a blessing to others, to be able to share your gifts freely, and to bless others. How much of your life do you feel hemmed in, unable to do that? God's wisdom says, try a new way. Seek sustainability. Seek a life that allows you to flourish. And then share that flourishing. Not only do we flourish, but we create a space for others to flourish around us, where everybody in our community has the opportunity to share their God-given gifts so that we will all be made richer. This is what wisdom means when she says she delighted in the human race. Because wisdom knows all of our full potentials, what we are all capable of, what goodness can come from each and every one of us. So may we choose such a life and pass it on as the wisdom that it is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.